It's time for the Average Pros Fantasy Football Podcast, featuring Jonathan Ritz, Alex Huff, and Braden Crow.
What is up, and welcome into another wonderful, amazing, awesome, hopefully, episode of the Average Pros Fantasy Football Podcast. We are talking about week 8 and heading into week 9, and I do issue, hopefully this is the final apology to Justin for not being in the intro. We've had some Average Pros faithful listeners on Instagram talk about how we need to get him in there. So it's in the works. Rest assured, we'll legitimize it here soon. But excited to be with you. It's Alex. It's Justin. It's me, Jonathan. So just, I guess, kind of kicking off today. We're halfway through the fantasy season, roughly. I guess after this week, technically, we'll be halfway through the full season, but 8 weeks in. What are some takeaways from what we've seen so far? We can start with you, Alex.
AJ Brown is so good at football.
Ridiculous.
I mean, he is just leaps. I mean, we might at some point want to talk, you know, new wide receiver rankings, because I know Justin Jefferson's injured, but my goodness, every game he just looks like he's getting better.
Yeah, I mean, I remember earlier in the season, I think we were talking about, like, well, maybe after Devontae's first two games, maybe it is like a 1A, 1B kind of thing. But no. AJ Brown is the 1A, B, and C. And Devontae Smith is a better version of Gabe Davis. So that's where I'm at with that. I don't know. Y'all might see that differently. But Justin, what are your thoughts on halfway point and through the season?
Well, I love AJ Brown getting the shout out there, because I think I recall someone trading him to me in our league of record. I don't know, but maybe anyone want to claim that.
I don't know who would do that.
Who in
that,
the
guy,
right
that guy must
mind.
Be an idiot.
Hopefully he got a haul for him, but we'll have to. Granted, that is like the only bright spot on my dynasty team, so thanks for giving me that, Huff.
You have to look at the rankings still.
Yeah, I'm still bottom of the pack there, so we won't talk about that much longer. But no, yeah, I think halfway through the season, just injuries, like they always hit hard in fantasy. But this year, it just seems like every week we've got a season ending injury. And most recently, Kirk Cousins, that's tough to see, you know, just an all around good guy. Tough to see him go down for the season. And just, you got Addison on the rise there. And obviously, Jefferson is a mainstay in fantasy football. So you just wonder how that's all going to shake out. But yeah, just the injuries. It's been tough to navigate and see these guys go down. So that's a big thing halfway through the season I've been watching.
Yeah, and I know we didn't have a huge day of trade deadline stuff. Alex and I were talking before the podcast, just kind of a little disappointed in how it shaped out. My Lions, you know, went and got DPJ, so we'll see what that's about, but worth a 6-round pick in my opinion.
There was I saw that said they added another weapon. The Detroit Lions added another weapon. I was like, did they though? Like, maybe in a new system he'll be great, but what do you think about that? Is that really a big relevant trade there?
I think it just adds, yeah, another deep threat. Jameson Williams is still trying to find his groove. They lost Marvin Jones as like a red zone threat. So he had a decent season last year with Jacoby Brissett, and then even Deshaun Watson at the end of the season. So I think the quarterback uncertainty has made it hard, and PJ Walker doesn't really excel at throwing the deep ball. So we'll see. It's not something I'm just like, you know, printing new reports in the press. But the reason I brought it up was actually to get to Josh Dobbs going to the Minnesota Vikings. And I don't know about y'all, but I was caught a little bit off guard by Jonathan Gannon's all of a sudden, like, yeah, no, he's not starting, which makes sense now that he got traded. But the Josh Dobbs hasn't been bad this year. And so obviously it's a downgrade from Kirk Cousins, but I'd love to get y'all's thoughts on, you know, with Vikings weapons and Josh Dobbs, assuming, I guess, Jaren Hall is going to start because of probably a system thing, but you got to imagine Josh Dobbs is going to start 2 weeks from now. Am I looking at that wrong? Justin, you brought up Kirk Cousins, so what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I agree. I think eventually Josh Dobbs will assume that starting role. I mean, Hall's been there through the preseason and everything, so he knows the system better. So week one of Kirk Cousins' absence, like, they're probably, I mean, it makes sense that they'd go with Hall, and then eventually Dobbs will assume that role, I think. But Dobbs has been great for fantasy. What's the reaction about?
I just saw Josh Dobbs is a 12th top 12 quarterback on the season. Technically a QB1.
Yep, he's QB1. The thing is, though, he's been really
hot dogs.
A big surprise. Hot dogs. He's been a big surprise in fantasy. A lot of fantasy production we didn't expect. But it's been a lot more. I saw he's top three in rush attempts and rushing yards for quarterbacks. And I think what you brought up about Josh Gannon, just like, you know, throwing him to the wolves all of a sudden. What?
Jonathan Gannon is my namesake, dude. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what did I say? Josh?
Yeah, you're continuing the Josh train. Anyway, I digress.
Gannon. Yeah, Gannon. Now you made me lose my train of thought.
Not to be confused with Rich Gannon. So
to pick up your point though, Justin, I think it is interesting because obviously they had Clayton Tune at the beginning of the year and they didn't think he was good enough. So they went and got Josh Dobbs. And now they benched Josh Dobbs the day before they released him too. Something like, I don't know what's happening there, but it just like doesn't make sense. So we'll see.
I think from
Minnesota side though, like I think it's actually a really smart move because you can now play your rookie. You have a guy that you're not really indebted to as a backup in case the rookie just cannot hang, but you also get to see if you have a good quarterback or at the same time, also kind of tanking for one of those like top quarterbacks in the draft. So the Vikings, I think, are more in rebuild mode and just making sure they don't have anything good in their rookie is, I think, the move for Josh Dobbs, or at least how I saw it.
So from a fantasy perspective, though, Jordan Addison was kind of coming into his own. Obviously, TJ Hockenson there. And even when Justin Jefferson comes back, I mean, those are probably really the three we're paying attention to. Real quick before we move on, better, worse. I mean, obviously it's worse, but obviously I don't think it's like falling off the cliff if, you know, Josh Dobbs steps in for them.
Yeah, I don't think it's as much of a drop off for TJ Hockenson. I think he's going to be fine. He's still going to be in that upper echelon of tight ends. I think Jordan Addison goes from a very serviceable wide receiver two to maybe a high end wide receiver three. But then from Justin Jefferson, like returning, I don't think it's going to affect him at all. So I think if there is movement or chatter that Justin Jefferson is now at a discounted price because he's not only injured, but he's now coming back without Kirk Cousins, I would definitely hop on that.
I think that's a great point. If you couldn't get Justin Jefferson and you're at the top of your league, you know, maybe go put some offers out there now. So, well, let's dive into some other, you know, you're talking about Justin Jefferson. So another perennial wide receiver is Davante Adams. And last night, at the time of this recording last night, he missed out on some huge plays, ended up with 2 in some decimals points wise. So Davante Adams was already a buy low, still a huge buy low. Or are we having any concern about that quarterback situation, Justin?
Yeah, I still see him as a buy low. If anyone is out on him, I'm definitely trying to grab him. Like you mentioned, 2 big plays that were just overthrows by Garoppolo. I think it would have been like a 98-yard touchdown if they connected on one of them, which is obviously crazy points there. And yeah, ended up with 1 catch for 11 yards, which we don't love that at all. But he's had, I think, an 8-point game and a 4-point game before this, but we've seen that he can still do the, you know, Adams of old things and go for 20 plus. So I'm still trying to get him if I can at the low, low price he's at right now.
What price are you talking about? Or talking buy low? Like, what are some names here that, like, are we talking Puka Nacua or Adam Thielen?
I think with Matthew Stafford's injury, I would probably go. I know that was to Justin, but I think I might.
Yeah, what the heck?
I think I might flip Puka for Devontae.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. I would flip Puka for Devontae. I don't think I'd do Thielen just because of the crazy volume he's still getting. But I think.
Sorry, I keep cutting you off, but in half PPR, I'm probably taking that. In full PPR, I think I still lean Nacua from the target perspective and their points per reception. Where are you at, Alex?
I would take Davante Adams over Puka Nacua.
Pretty easily.
I was going to ask the other name would be Jalen Waddle.
I'd probably take Davante over Jalen Waddle. I think I sent that exact trade in the league I'm in.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'd keep Waddle if I had him.
I think if I had Waddle, I'm not trading him for Davante Adams.
So you rank those Davante, or excuse me, you rank those Waddle, Davante, Puka.
Yes.
Okay. I think I go
That's so weird because 2 weeks ago I was like Puka Nacua.
Hey, things change fast in fantasy.
Values do change quick.
Prefer Cooper Kupp or Davante Adams versus season?
Cooper Kupp. Are you Davante Adams?
No, I'm Cooper Kupp as well. Yeah. I was just curious.
Three for three there. Cooper Kupp for me.
10 targets, yeah. One last name, and then we'll move on here. You mentioned, did we talk about Adam Thielen? How did Adam Thielen get brought up? I mean, I think we're for sure, that's a Adam Thielen plus for Davante Adams feels like a great trade.
I mean, Huff brought that up with Puka and Adam, if you'd flip them for Davante, and I said I'd keep Thielen.
You said you'd keep Thielen over Davante.
I would, yeah.
I think I would cash in Adam Thielen for either Puka or Davante.
Yeah, and I would send Adam Thielen plus
yeah.
Nico Collins for Davante Adams.
I would too.
Yeah, that's interesting. I see your point though, Justin. Like, I mean, Bryce Young is totally only sees Adam Thielen on the field, and occasionally the ball finds Jonathan Mingo or like Tommy Trumbull, but it's mostly him. So it's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, what did he have this week? Oh, he had 11 in half PPR. But still, 11 targets, 14, he's 8, wide receiver 13, 13, 11. Yeah, I don't know. I just, like you said, he's seems to be the only target out there practically for Carolina. So I don't know. I was talking lower, I guess, than that. But
yeah, Jordan Addison, we might have to circle back to because I just saw he's the wide receiver 11 on the year. It's kind of wild.
Yeah, I'm seeing seven on a site. So
yeah, for
standard, Thielen. Yeah. Oh, no, you're right.
Okay. Well, so last quick point to put a pin on the Raiders. Jacoby Myers was putting together a pretty big case for himself, but last night Monday night didn't really do much. So obviously not the level of Davante Adams, but where are y'all at on Jacoby Myers, Huff, or Alex?
I definitely still have him as a low-end wide receiver too, which I think I don't know if we've reevaluated him in the last couple of weeks, but that's way up from where he was beginning of the season. I still have him as kind of a safe wide receiver too. And he's kind of in that Christian Kirk range where he's kind of like the name value isn't quite there, but they're putting up consistent wide receiver 2 weeks every week. I think that's kind of where he still is for me.
You don't rank Christian Kirk quite a bit ahead of Jacoby Myers. I know you said in that range, but like, I mean, same tier still though with both of those.
Yeah, I would put them in similar tiers. I think Christian Kirk's ahead for me as well.
Yeah, that's fair. Justin, what are your thoughts on Jacoby Myers' relevancy moving forward?
I don't think I was really buying his success as much as some others were. He's just been up and down, it seems. So he never really was like, he's like cracked into that wide receiver too, where I'm playing him consistently there. So I think he kind of topped out as a high-end wide receiver three, low-end wide receiver two for me. And then after this past game, one target, which Adams had one target too. It was just a weird game. Your Lions, I guess, have the greatest. Huh?
One catch. He had a few more targets than that.
Myers, no, he just had one target.
Well, Davante had more than one target. But
yeah, Davante. Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. Yeah. But yeah, Kirk, if I'm going to go back to what y'all just discussed, Kirk is ahead of Myers for me because he profiles as the possible top option in most games for Lawrence there, whereas Myers doesn't for me.
Yeah. Ridley did bounce back this week, though, so who knows?
He did.
Didn't get a touchdown, but the last thing I'll just throw out there, and you don't have to comment on this, but Davante had a pretty egregious drop in Davante terms on a crucial third down in that game. And I don't know if that probably comes from a fact of you're frustrated, you're not in the game and just take it. But I've never seen Davante Adams drop. It was a little bit behind him, but I was shocked. And I was like, something up with Davante. But thinking through the whole scope of things, probably just his frustration. So Gus Edwards' legitimacy, where are we at on that? Back-to-back 20-plus games. The dude got 3 touchdowns last week. And then the week before last had an 80-yard catch. Granted, that's an outlier. But not super profiled as a passing back. But are we buying Gus Edwards? And if so, are we? Who else? Who's he in the conversation with, Justin?
That's kind of if he falls in my lap situation. I'm playing him, but I'm not going out and getting him. Last episode, I kind of shared my feelings on Ravens running backs. They've got a running back for a quarterback, so he could very well go for 3 points next week, and I wouldn't be surprised. So, actually, you know what? Let's put that on the board as a guarantee. I think he goes under 10 this next week. So that's how I feel about Gus Edwards. Flash in the pan.
What did you say? Flash in the plan earlier?
Yeah, before the pod.
What? Alex, do you share those same sentiments?
I pretty much do, yeah. We've just seen enough of Harbaugh coaching this exact team with an injury-riddled backfield to know that we see guys for a couple weeks, and as soon as you get it, you can go buy them, put them on your team, and play them. By that time, it's usually too late, and they're already back to a pumpkin. So, like, it's great if they finish
Happy
this
Halloween,
way.
Halloween, everybody.
Yeah. It's great if he has this kind of breakout year, but I if you need a running back and he's there and you can get a spot start, awesome. But I'm not buying into it long term.
Zach Moss or Gus Edwards rest of the season?
I think I would take Gus Edwards there because he actually could be the lead back. I don't think Zach Moss has that outcome, barring a Jonathan Taylor injury.
Justin?
Yeah, I share the same sentiment there. Zach Moss, I think, is 50% split with JT at best, and he might get the touchdown and have a good week there, but Gus Edwards has the clearest path to being the guy in the backfield.
Zach Moss running back 4 on the season so far. So these rankings start to really take some weight just because you have a real full body of work. If you say, 3 weeks or data, you've got 8 weeks, you're really starting to stack that stuff up. So, I mean, even the outliers, now granted you have the big games, but Raheem Mostert's the running back 3. We'll talk about him in a second. But the guys that are starting to make their way up there are really, really more, I feel like, legit. So I'm not saying I probably go Zach Moss over Gus Edwards personally, but it's an interesting conversation. Well, let's talk about the New Orleans Saints. They've had some relevancy at each position, minus quarterback position, but at wide receiver, running back, and tight end. So we'll start with Chris Olave. A lot of people had him as wide receiver 1, kind of locked and loaded this year. He is like 30% target share in most games this season so far, but yet he currently sits on sits as a wide receiver 26 on the season. So what is a rest of the season outlook for Chris Olave? And then I'll just go ahead and throw Taysom Hill and Alvin Kamara in there. If we need to take them one at a time, we can, but those are who we're going to talk about from the Saints. So Justin, what are you thinking there?
Yeah, I think I'm lower than y'all might be on Olave. I had high hopes for him coming into the season, and he hasn't even had that one boom game where I'm like, oh, there's the Olave we hope to see. So, I mean, he's had good games. That's not to say he hasn't been good at points, but I think I'm middle of the pack with Olave. I don't think he's wide receiver 1 rest of the season. I think he stays at that wide receiver 2 range. Taysom Hill, he's that Swiss Army knife. Like, I know in sleeper they have him. You can play him in tight end or quarterback, and he's had some really good weeks recently. So I don't have him anywhere, but I kind of would love to have stock in him somewhere just because that's a fun play. But that's just tough to navigate because it's like he's one of those where the offense, like, they have to game plan for him to get some good touches, which they have so far. So, and then Kamara, check down king. We put on our Instagram on the story, check down king, when they showed that he was the RB1 since he's been back. And I just think that is so true. Like, he's going to get insane targets rest of the season, and I love that for a running back. Like, he could break a run, and that helps too. But if he's getting 8 targets a game, that already sets him possibly at 8 points if he catches all those. So I think that's great for a running back. So I'm in on Kamara rest of the season.
He's 3.7 yards per carry right now, but he's caught 39 of his 44 targets. Granted, because they've been from 3 yards.
Yeah.
That catch rate's insane.
It's practically been shovel passes.
Yeah, that's almost an 80+% catch rate. Alex?
On the Kamara piece, I mean, how many running backs are we taking over him rest of the season?
Yeah, great Great question. Great question. Sorry, y'all. So like
CMC.
Right.
Sure.
CMC.
I think Eckler. Fine.
ETN.
ETN for me, yeah.
Who's the other? I have one more guy come to mind.
Kenneth Walker.
I mean, Jacobs is below him for me.
Bijan.
Oh, who am I thinking of?
I mean, the crazy thing about Kamara while you're thinking about that is he has only scored 3 touchdowns right now. He's got 2 rushing touchdowns and 1 passing touchdown or receiving touchdown.
The guy I was thinking of was Breece Hall.
Ooh. Yeah, probably. Oof. Yeah, I take Breece Hall probably above Kamara. I don't know.
So is
these are not in an order. These are just in front of him. Go ahead.
I was like, is he firmly above Tony Pollard and Saquon?
Yes, for me. Jonathan, see you thinking there.
I have to see. Tony Pollard, yes. Saquon, it's close.
Another 100-yard game.
Yeah, the Giants, though, gosh, they're bad. Almost beat the Jets, but I'll go ahead and say I probably.
What's that saying?
I mean, Jets have a good
Jets defense. Are on a streak, but they've been winning 13-12. I don't know. I just thought that was funny.
Probably take Bijan and Saquon above Kamara just because of the. Oh man, as I said, Bijan, and then looked at your face, you made me rethink that, Alex. Just the fact
Bijan has not been great.
His talent profile though is stupid, and Alvin Kamara is washed.
He's not electric.
He's not electric. He doesn't have to be electric. I'm not saying he does. I'm just saying I want to put Bijan above him, but you're right. The profile's not there. So yeah, really CMC, ETN. Do you put Swift above him?
That was what I was going to ask you. That's really close for me. I think
I cut him at the beginning of the season. So I can't no put
coming
Swift.
Back.
I have to, I'm so far digging that hole. Like I'm almost to China. I'm just digging. So I'm going to say, No, you do not put Swift below him. Or you do not put Alvin Kamara below Swift.
Yeah, I think I have Kamara above Swift, but it's probably...
I mean, it's 6 or... He's top 6 or 7 for me. I don't think he slips inside that top 5 yet, but just because of the touchdowns and the offense. But
I think he is for me just because he's been this for the last, 5 years.
Yeah, I see the argument. With Achane coming back... Well, we'll talk about the offense backfield in a second, so I'll save that conversation. But what about Taysom Hill? I mean... He's only rostered in 25% of leagues, according to Fantasy Pros. So, I mean, that's before waivers run tonight and before he had his two touchdown game. But, I mean, there's a good chance he's on your waiver wire after tonight. Well, I say not a good chance, but anyway, it's tied in 11 right now on the year in PPR.
I just feel like this is the exact same conversation we have every year about Taysom Hill at some point in the season.
He has a 4 touchdown game middle of the season. And then he's
do you play him or not? And I picked him up in a couple of leagues last week and I didn't play him in most of them because I was terrified. And then he had another good game on my bench. And so I'm now going to play him this week and I'm sure he's just going to go back to Taysom Hill. And I don't know. I think in this tight end landscape though, anybody that has this upside, you have to just play them unless you have a locked and loaded, the top 6 or 7 tight ends. You have to play them if you have them.
Kelce, Hockenson, Laporta, Andrews, Kittle. You put Goddard. I mean, yeah, you play Goddard. Ingram.
Yeah. Ingram's close. I think Ingram and Goddard are probably the line. Yeah.
And Waller's hurt now. Yeah. The Atlanta tight ends.
I'd take Hill over either of them. I mean, not saying rest of the season, but you have to play Hill right now over them.
Kincaid or McBride, Justin, over Hill.
Whoa. I thought you were just flipping to those two. I was like, I was
Hill,
not ready
Kincaid,
for that.
Trey McBride, how do you rank those three?
If I have Hill, I'm playing the hot hand till he proves me wrong. But they
all have hot hands right now after last week.
Yeah, but he's done it multiple weeks in a row.
Trey McBride's Fantastic Four. Why am I blanking on Human Torch right now?
I mean, he had 5 week 7 and then jumped up to 25, whereas Let's see what Hill have.
I was
five what and 27 what?
Human torch it last week. He had 5 in week 7, 5 points in week 7. Trey McBride did, but that was a yeah, first week.
27
after
targets is what I was saying. No,
no,
27 points PPR.
Trey Puka Nakua McBride.
Yeah, I mean, have, but Hill's his breakout was coming for a while. Yeah. Trey McBride's. So we kind of
quarterback changed though. Quarterback changed.
Yeah. Rest of season, I like. In that ordering those three, I like Kincaid, McBride, Hill.
Who are you playing next week? You're playing Hill?
Hill for the fun of it.
For the hill of
play
it.
Play the Swiss Army knife. Playing him in my quarterback and tight end spot.
Yeah, I think I'm Kincaid in all accounts. Just moving forward with Dawson Knox still out. So
he's also got Chicago. Hill does. So if that factors in anything.
Good. Any last notes on the Saints before we move on?
Nope.
Cool. So this is kind of, well, we'll talk about that at the end. The Leonard Fournette signing in Buffalo, what does that shake up? And why, what are we watching there? Cook's relevancy had a down week. So Alex, kind of talk about Leonard Fournette's impact, or if there's no impact, you can just shake your head. No, I'm just kidding.
I think I'm kind of glad that this happened because it put me out of my misery being like a James Cook Stan. I wanted him to be good this year. I think he's been, you know, above average, but I really was rooting for him. And I think I've been holding on to him and just kind of hoping that he's going to have this big breakout that we're kind of seeing from Javonte Williams right now. And we knew it was going to happen for Breece Hall. I kind of just thought maybe there's something where James Cook could kind of explode. So I'm now selling my stocks. I'm not selling for pennies on the dollar. I think he's still going to be a serviceable running back too, and those are hard to come by. So I think if you have James Cook, you know, better days might not be ahead, but I don't think worse days are ahead either. And I think Leonard Fournette's more going to take over the Latavius Murray role, which is the goal line anyway. As much as we would have loved it, James Cook really never had that role to begin with, and Leonard Fournette's not a big pass catching back, at least at this stage in his career. So I think James Cook kind of stays as is, but I think his elite or even top 10 upside is now completely nuked.
Yeah, Justin. So if Cook is, I think he's cooked in terms of running back one for that take that we made earlier in the season, probably, but back end wide or running back two, even maybe a, you know, maybe a flex. But what is Leonard Fournette's value on this Bills offense? Is there any value there as a, you know, flex spot start as these bye weeks? Like for this, for example, this week, you know, McCaffrey's out, Montgomery and Gibbs are out, ETN's out for bye purposes, Javonte Williams is on bye. So I mean, that's a, those are, you know, five really startable running backs that you're looking at there. So are those Leonard Fournette's value, I guess.
I was gonna say, what's the question here?
Sorry, I got
you just wrote a soliloquy and now I'm supposed to answer something. Was any question in there if I'm playing Leonard Fournette this week?
Essentially, the question was
his value.
What is Leonard Fournette's value? And I was giving the example of the bye weeks this week are, you know, pretty dire. So, and there's more of those to come.
Okay. I think I got it now. I'm not playing him this week. Rest of season, I don't see him breaking into more than the flex range. And I share the same thoughts as Huff on Cook. He's not going to be what we hoped for. And that's out of sight for sure with adding another running back to the backfield.
How much fab does Leonard Fournette go for in a league
at this
that's probably
point
a little
in the
overzealous?
Season?
At this point in the season. Well, yeah, but percentage-wise.
Percentage-wise.
Alex, you're usually pretty good with these.
I'm not the fab guy. I kind of just throw money at the wall and see what it sticks to.
Curious, you know, somebody sees Leonard Fournette and they're like, ooh, Leonard Fournette, Tampa Bay Bucks, Super Bowl year, you know, getting to the Bills. It's the Bills offense. You know, there's going to be somebody that throws some pretty significant fab at it.
Yeah, I don't know. This late in the season, I feel like if you spend like 13% of your fab left, like you'll probably get him.
Yeah. So it'd be like, if you have 50 fab, you're spending six, you know?
Yeah, I think somebody could spend probably 10% of their fab. And I think that's going to be like, it's somebody that needs a running back this late in the season.
I appreciate the exactness of your 13%.
I was gonna say I'm proud of myself because I had 15 in my head, but he's just on another level with that precise 13.
13.3% of your fab should get.
Alex is our numbers data points guy.
Yeah, it's a counting brain. Okay, finally we get to the Dolphins backfield. This is what I've been building up for. This is our moment. What the heck, Raheem Mostert, running back 34 over the last 2 weeks. The Dolphins still put up points, 31 points this last week. I can't remember how many they scored in week 7, but it was probably a lot. No, they played the Eagles, so but still put up, you know, some points there. Is Raheem Mostert, like, is this kind of his downtrend? Did you miss your window to sell him high? Is it a buy low? What are your thoughts, Alex?
I mean, so he plays Kansas City next week, and then they go on a buy, and then Achane comes back. So I think Raheem Mostert, he did not kill you this week because he still got a touchdown. But I think, yeah, this whole running back 3 reign is completely over. Now, maybe they do something against Kansas City because Kansas City has so many other things they have to stop in this Dolphins offense. But that's one of the better defenses right now in the league relative to fantasy offenses. So this might have been...
I was gonna call a Tyreek Hill revenge game this week against Kansas City. Like, I'm talking 2 touchdowns, one of them's a 50 plus, and I think he's gonna have a good week.
I know we're not talking about Tyreek Hill, but that just popped into my brain, so I said it, and there you go. But Justin, what are your thoughts on Raheem Mostert's running back 34 performance these last couple weeks?
As much as I want to disagree, because I feel like we're agreeing way too much this episode.
Because Braden's not on here, so I don't have nobody to fight with.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. No, we miss you, Braden. We love you. I have been off Mostert. I mean, I thought it was going to be injury that took him out, but I think we're just seeing the tide go out on him. Because if all rising tides lift all boats, all lowering, I'm not even gonna take a shot at that.
He's got a paddle boat right now.
Yeah,
he's struggling paddle boats.
He's struggling out there in the waves. KC this next week, pretty tough defense against the run. And then they've got their bye, and then Achan is expected to be back week 11. So
has anybody said that before on the podcast?
Did you say that exact same thing? I heard you say Kansas City. Did you talk about the bye too?
That was verbatim what he said.
Oh man. And I felt like I was paying attention.
I'm gonna take a page out of Braden's playbook. It's probably the fact that you were looking at the Rangers. They won 11-7 tonight. They're up 3-1. Shout out to Braden there. So we'll toss it up to another baseball.
I didn't even realize baseball was still happening. I was literally looking at Raheem Mostert's stats, and yeah.
Did you see his schedule? Did you see his upcoming schedule? It's Kansas
yeah,
City.
Hey, so guys, he plays Kansas City. Let's just go through the whole schedule.
Yeah, round it out. Round it out.
I'm out on Mostert, not RB3 anymore. He's dropping. That RB34 is more around where he's gonna stay rest of the season. Wow, maybe not that low, but RB25. How about RB25? Would you accept that? Yeah.
I mean, you can do whatever you want. You're an average pro, man.
Yeah.
Not that the intro doesn't say it, but you are in spirit. I think that Achane, man. So I wanted to bring him up earlier when you're talking about running backs, but does Raheem Mostert's irrelevancy help or hurt Achane coming back? Like, do we then think like, oh man, we can't wait for him to get back? Or is it like, oh, this might be more like them coming back to earth and kind of settling into the passing game, settling into, you know, more of defense. Their defense is getting better with Jalen Ramsey coming back. Xavien Howard's going to be back. Where does that leave us with Achane, Alex?
I think it's a little bit of both, honestly. Like, I think there is some element to where these NFL defensive coordinators are getting enough tape on the Dolphins where they're starting to be able to build game plans, minimize some of these big plays and these high scoring opportunities. On the back end, though, I think Raheem Mostert's lack of efficiency and production, it actually like just paves more of a way for Achane to come in and be back to what he was. In a weird way, though, I think when Achane comes back, Mostert will also become a little bit more relevant because I feel like their offense is a little bit more dynamic with both of them coming out of the backfield. And we've seen them both excel together, but when Mostert's just kind of the guy by himself, he seems to have a much harder time. So we'll see how it goes. I think there will be some optimism to still play Mostert going forward, but I think A-Chain coming back, he has to just step into the role.
Let me pose it to you this way, Justin, just so you don't say exactly what Alex said. So I'll give you a different version of the question. Just kidding.
Has that happened before? I don't recall.
No, I don't, me either. A-Chain, top 10 running back rest of season when he comes back.
I don't think top 10. No. I think he could definitely be just outside of that, but I think between 12 and 20 maybe. So just outside that RB1.
It is tricky because you know that if he has a good game, it's probably going to be like a 25-30 point game that's going to skew things. But
or a 51-point game.
Yeah, I think when you're looking at, I don't know, man, if you can get A-Chain in your flex and have him in championship week, like he's
a league winner there.
He's going to win some people some leagues in the playoffs. But you've got to have that balance. I mean, as a running back two, it's tough. But I think I'm going to go put some, here's my game plan for all of our listeners that are in leagues with us. I'm going to go put out some trades from A-Chain. So if you have him, open up the DMs because I'm going to sling some trades. So I don't know if that's the lingo DMs got put in there with slinging trades and it sounded aggressive, but nonetheless, going to try and go get some more A-Chain stock. So, well, guys, that's a pretty, you know, rapid fire, covered a lot of people. I want to open up the floor to y'all for an opportunity before we get out of here. Any other players or teams, situations that we need to monitor? I think actually, now that I'm saying this, we didn't talk about the Lions yet. So,
all right. And that's the end of this podcast. We'll see you at the next one.
Hey, Alex mentioned Montgomery and Gibbs. So how we're slicing that cake. And Justin, since you're such a huge Lions fan, you can delve into that a little bit.
You know, I don't hate to see the Lions succeeding. As a Packers fan, we're trash this year. So somebody's got to come out of the NFC North. So I'll root for him. Yeah. We were talking about it before the pod, and I think that Gibbs is poetry in motion. He's so fun to watch. But with Montgomery coming back, we mentioned that he's the Jamal Williams to Swift last year. I just think that I want it to be like the, you know, this past game be where I want it to be where Dan Campbell saw his, you know, 12th overall pick and was like, holy smokes, we got, you know, gold in this guy, and just give him 20 plus touches a game. But when Montgomery comes back, I think it's going to be back to what we saw before. And I think Gibbs will do more with his touches than he was doing. I mean, he was electric early on in the season, but it still wasn't garnering a lot of fantasy points. But I think Montgomery will cut back into Gibbs and he won't be having 20 point games like he's had the last 2 weeks. And I think I have Montgomery over him when they're both playing.
Alex, any different take on that? Or do you pretty much share that idea?
Yeah, I pretty much agree. It's going to be, I think, messier than we want, but there is also a world where Gibbs is just the next guy. We know what he was drafted to be and how high he was. So I think if you really want an upside shot, though, that might be the one to take for the year.
A-Chain or Jamar Chase, Jahmyr Gibbs, when they're both back rest of season. I know that's kind of looking ahead because A-Chain's not going to be back for basically 3 more weeks, but
no, he's got Kansas City, then a bye, and then he's back week 11.
I think, I mean, obviously the starting right now, I would take Gibbs because you get the extra couple games. But if you had Gibbs right now, would you trade him for A-Chain? Maybe. I mean, if you don't need the games right now.
Yeah, if you're top in your league and you're trying to shore down that boom, yeah. I think he's got more of the boom chance.
Yeah, the only piece on that is like it's fun to like project what we want to happen or what we think will happen, but like what if things just stay as is and Jahmyr Gibbs is just this good the whole time and A-Chain is injured? And I mean, I think the highest upside here in any situation is Gibbs just staying exactly where he's at.
I will point out that you mentioned trading and getting the extra week. So you get one extra week for Gibbs, but he does have a bye this week. So, and then Montgomery comes back most likely. So really you're only getting one extra week there. So we're having to lose one week. Yeah. But I think the only other thing I'll bring into the equation, and there could have been a lot of other reasons for it, but the Lions were 1-for-5 in the red zone last night. And a lot of people think that might be due, myself included, to Montgomery's ability to run the ball down near the goal line. Jahmyr Gibbs, not so much an in-between-the-tackles guy, and it's hard to spread people out down there. So that's something that lends it to, hey, there's a big piece of Montgomery missing, and those touchdowns, I know Gibbs did end up getting in the end zone with a touchdown, but that's kind of where I'm at. But the flip side of that is the draft capital, and if he's finding his groove, you keep using that draft capital. So lots can happen. Values change quick. So any other thoughts before we get on out of here, y'all?
Nope.
I think that's going to do it. So Lions, 49ers, Jaguars, and Broncos on bye. So plan accordingly. A lot of good players on all those teams except for the Broncos that you need to probably plan for. Just kidding. Javonte's really good too. So that's going to do it for us. Like I said, thanks so much for listening. If you haven't liked or subscribed to the podcast, please do that before leaving, either on Spotify or Apple. Like us on, follow us on socials. We're Average Pros FF on Twitter and on Instagram. And our Instagram has been fire lately. Shout out to Justin. Y'all get in on that. And there's a lot of good info there. So until next time, we're the Average Pros. See ya.
Your time is valuable, and we thank you for sharing a little of it with the Average Pros. For more clear, concise, and competitive analysis, be sure to follow us on Twitter at Average Pros FF. That's at Average Pros FF. Editing and production by Jonathan Rates. Voiceover by Ben Johnson. Music by Josh Lippi and the Overtimers. We'll catch you at the next one.